Chapter 11. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you. For the great privilege and joy of gathering again on this Lord's Day in the high and holy name of Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Man, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, Terminator, Judge, coming King. Our High Priest, our Prophet, our everything. We bless you today, Lord, for all the benefits you've lavished upon us, all the blessings you've bestowed upon your people. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Oh, we thank you for the blessed hope. We thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of our sins through the shed blood. Oh, we thank you for the work you did 2,000 years ago. We scan it all so briefly. We scan it so lightly. We see such a little of what you've done. We appreciate you, but not like we ought. We know you, but not like we ought. We thank you, Lord, that you've been made of God unto us wisdom. Without you, we'd be so foolish to this day. Yes, righteousness. Without you, we'd be condemned and defiled to this very day. Sanctification and redemption. You have been made unto us redemption. Lord, we'd still be bound, we'd still be slaves to sin, headed for hell, if it were not for what you did. Oh, we thank you, Lord, out of all the millions and millions and millions that have walked the face of the earth. Why you've loved us, that we... Why have loved us personally that we should be called sons of God? Why you didn't leave us in our sins and pass us by? That we would have a heart to be here this morning. That we would have a heart to read your word. That we would have a heart to obey your word. That we would have a heart to love your people. Lord, that we would have a heart to care. I think, Lord, of Paul's words, thanks be to God who put the same earnest care in the heart of Titus. And so, Lord, you put care You put care in hearts. And Lord, we confess we care this morning. Not like we ought, but we do care. We care for you, for your name, for your reputation, for your people, for your kingdom. We pray, Lord, that everywhere grace might abound today, your kingdom would be advanced today, sinners would be converted today, that today you'd arise and scatter your enemies. You'd drive them back in communities and villages. The demons would be driven back. Deceitful spirits would be driven off. Lies would be exposed. Lord, we pray that you'd arise and bear your arm. Grant revival. Revival here and there, north, south, east, west. We ask you for outpourings of your Spirit on this Lord's Day today. Lord, I thank you for these dear saints. Thank you for these dear sons and daughters of God. Thank you for these dear sheep. Thank you for these fellow heirs. For these brothers and sisters in Christ. And we don't know how to make the most of the time, the little time we've got together today. But Spirit of the Living God, we know you know how. And we thank you. You're the Comforter. Indeed, you are. You're the Helper. Indeed, you are. And we bless you, O God, three in one. Amen. Let's read in Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own, that is, a homeland. And indeed, they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. A heavenly city, a heavenly country in Christ. Maybe you've read the journal entry that I made this morning or last night, and you saw that we had to go to the GI doctor in Kansas City there Friday, and he said that I did not have much time, and you know it, but you don't know it. I mean, I knew that apart from a miracle from God, I didn't have much time back then. And is there a box of Kleenexes or anything? My handkerchief is wet before I start. Thank you, Deacon. And I knew that I didn't have much time then, and they said maybe 3 months, maybe 6 months. And here God has graciously given me over 2 years. And so a couple months ago, when the swelling began to appear in my ankles and feet, and I knew something's deep wrong. Things are breaking down. And he said that, I said, "Do I have 3 months?" And he shook his head. And I thought to myself, if I'm gonna say anything, I better get it said. But you can't say everything. You can't get it all out. You can't tell it all. Because basically what we've got to talk about is Christ. And our riches in Him. And what pastor, what preacher can say it in all of his ministry, let alone the last few months or weeks? What can you say? You can't say it all to your family. You can't say everything you want to say. It says here, they all died not having received, even at the end of that's verse 39. They gained approval through their faith, but did not receive what was promised. And in verse 13, these died in faith without receiving the promises. I mean, it's like they died having a sense that it wasn't complete, having a sense something was still lacking, having a sense that something was still undone, unsaid, not received, hadn't come in yet. And that's the way you feel. That's the way I feel. That I cannot tell you, friends, in Christ. I cannot tell you how much I love you. I cannot tell you how much a blessing you have been. Where have the years gone? It was 83 that we began to meet. Where have the years gone? I don't know. But they did. And that's the way it's going to be. It's the way it's going to be for each one of you too. Life may seem long for a time, like the months and the days, the years are going by. You don't have much to write down. If you keep a journal even, you don't have much to enter. But They may seem long, but they're going fast. And you better do what you've got to do when you can. While you've got strength, while you've got life, while you've got breath, while you've got sanity. I think it's easy to think, well, when a person gets sick, while you've got all this time to read and pray, you don't have more time for anything. You can't do anything better. You can't do more of anything. You better do it now by faith. These men, it says, they died in faith. And they lived in faith. They lived in faith. That's where it all starts. You know, we're saved by grace through faith. And you're going to have to take God at His Word and build your life on the Word of God. You're going to have to take God at His Word and operate on it, act on it. That's all you got. God has set things up so beautifully. He set things up so rightly. He set things up so principally. I mean, you've got to admire God's principles. Those who take Him by faith, they get blessed. They get honored. They get exalted in the end. Those who live by sight, those who say, I've got to see more, I've got to have more proof, they're going to miss it. They're going to miss it all. God wants us to take Him by faith, to do what you know you've got to do, to put away sin that's got to be put away, to put on Christ, to put on Christ, to put on Christ, to live for Him day by day by day by faith when you don't even feel like it. And in the end, you'll not be sorry. You will not be sorry. He will not let you be sorry in the end. Everything will turn out all right beyond our wildest imaginations. It says God in verse 15, 16, that God is not ashamed to be called their God. I mean, God is not going to let it. He's not going to let you be ashamed, and He's not going to be ashamed either. What I'm talking about a lot today is heaven. We read that in these verses. I told that doctor, Friday, you probably don't have 3 months. I said, okay. I said, heaven is all right. Heaven's okay, isn't it? And I told him of the salvation that I had in Christ. That God had saved me from my sins when I was 22. And that I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry that I followed Him. So, let's look at this. Yesterday, Jared and the family is down. We were all there, except James and Bethany. And I said, let's go out and the cemetery south of Smithton there, about a mile, and Rattlesnake Road. And I said, let's look at the plot. Raymond called it the patch. Let's look at the plot that your mother and I selected a couple months ago. and a place to be buried. And so we went out there, and you know, it's pretty bleak. Pretty bleak. You stand there looking at the dirt. That's what the Lord said. Dust you are. To dust you'll return. And we're talking about the gravestone and might have a message on it, plan to have a message on it. And I said, or Jared, I guess, pointed out that not too many of them have a message on them. And it's probably because they didn't have anything to say. Nothing to say at the end of their life. Born and died, is that all you got? Is that all you got, you know? That is all the non-Christian has. If you don't have Christ, you got nothing to say. Oh, your life, your life, your life goes up as a vapor. And you've got nothing. Nothing, nothing. Oh, I think of Laquita this morning. Yeah. Who knows? She might be gone before me. You might be gone before her. It's all, we're all so brief. So transient. So uncertain. But we're just so glad that that heaven, not the grave, is our goal. And so glad that thinking about, you know, the dates of birth and the dates of death, and that for the Christian, the day of one's death is better than his birth. It's just an incredible joy, an incredible victory. And so we prayed. We had our funeral service. Better to have your funeral service while you're alive than when you're dead. And a lot of things happen, you know. For these saints right here, Clint brought that out in Hebrews 11. When he went through it there a year ago, 2 years, he said, you know, by faith when he was dying. You know, it's valid to do some things toward the end. That's okay. It doesn't mean your house is not in order. You want to get your house in order as much as you can. Might as well do it now. For sure, get your heart in order. Yeah, that's what you did when you started out with Christ. You began to get your heart in order. That's the main thing. You got to watch over your heart day by day. And that's the main thing. But to get your house in order, that's important too. And so in verse 13, all these died in faith. They all died, and they died in faith. They persevered. They started out by faith, and they persevered. They persevered, Gary. They hung on there. They endured. No matter how lonely the road, difficult, weary ways, golden days, they persevered. We don't know what's ahead. But they died believing God They died confident with their confidence in God. They died looking to God that everything would turn out just like He said it. They died believing that there was still more to come and that everything would be all right. They died in faith without having received the promises. You know, Abraham, he realized. I mean, he knew God, this was the promised land. But yet, he also knew that it wasn't the ultimate. Canaan was not the promised land. He knew that God had something better than Canaan. He knew that God had promised a heavenly city and a heavenly country. And something yet was waiting. And they saw it. They welcomed it from a distance. And they confessed they were strangers and pilgrims, exiles on the earth. That needs to be our confession. Let me back up and say something here first. You know, this Hebrews 11, it starts out, and it says here in chapter 11, verse 2, "For by it, by faith, the men of old gained approval." In the margin it says, "obtained a good testimony." Literally. And you see the same wording back here in verse 39. All these, having gained approval, or literally obtained a testimony through their faith. So, by faith, they obtained a testimony, and I tell you, everyone here, that's one thing you've got to do if you haven't done it. You have got to obtain that. There's something you've got to get. Something you better get, or you're going to go to hell. You have got to obtain a testimony. That is, a testimony that you're a Christian and that you're headed for heaven. Earth is not your home. You're putting your trust in Jesus Christ to be your sin bearer. You've got to get a testimony. You've got to obtain a testimony, a good testimony. And you do that by faith. Yeah, I am believing God. I'm believing Christ. I'm believing the Word of God. I believe I'm a Christian. I'm not going by feeling. I'm going by faith. I may not have any feelings. A lot of times, when I started out on the Christian path, I did not have any feelings. I had no flashing lights. I just saw that this is right. The Word of God is true. I've got to be born again. I've got to live. I've got to put all my eggs in one basket. I've got to go with Christ. I've got to forsake these sinful friends. I've got to forsake sin. And so I started out by faith, taking God at His Word when I didn't have a bit of feeling. And the friends, they laughed. Those fraternity brothers, they said, "You'll get over it for long." You're wrong. I knew they were wrong right then. I wasn't going to get over it. I hadn't seen much, but what I saw was real. What I saw was real. Isn't that right, Sam? Amen. What you saw was real. It was enough glory. You saw enough glory to pull up stakes and to pitch your tent in Canaan's fair and happy land. Robin, you were enslaved, you were enslaved, you were in a pitiful condition. And by faith, you gained a good testimony. And I look around the room, and I could say it of you. Most of you here, I know. And I want to make that point. Then you got to get something. You got to get a good testimony by faith. You start out by faith, and these men, it says they died in faith. And I am wanting to point out that Abraham realized it was heaven. He realized that he was a stranger, a pilgrim, a sojourner. That this earth was not his home. I tell you, brethren, it's just incredible. Incredible the way we get so earthbound. The way earth seems so real. The way cars, the way trucks, the way fences, the way grass, the way crops, the way clouds, the way sun, the way home, house, the way friends, the way earth, meals, meal times, grocery store, gas station, work, office, family, everything. It seems so real. It seems so important. And I'm going to tell you in a way it is. But right now I'm going to tell you in a way it isn't. And we better make sure we're free of it. We better make sure we've got a citizenship in heaven. We better make sure heaven is our home. And we've got a 2 Corinthians 5. We've got a dwelling eternal in the heavens. Because there's a day coming which all of this stuff, as real as it seems, it's going to be stripped. It's going to go. We're going to have to say farewell. Goodbye. All that I've seen. Yeah, goodbye. Goodbye, my wife. You know, we've got to be able to look our wife in the eye, our husband in the eye, our lover in the eye, and say and tell them, you know, as much as I love you, you are still not the most important reality in my life. But it is Christ. It's still Christ. And it's still Him. Everything still has to be in Christ, or we have nothing. And so I'm saying you've got to be able to confess that we're strangers, we're pilgrims, we're exiles, we're just passing through, folks. We are just passing through. We're strangers. We don't belong here. We're exiles. Like this is a foreign land. Pilgrims, we're just passing through. It seems so big. It seems so costly to become a Christian. It seems so radical. It seems so radical. I mean it. Jesus said, you take up the cross. You follow me. I mean, it was such a radical statement, Susan. It's death to self, Duane. All to Christ, right? I mean, yeah, when the man took up the cross and they said, you head. you had for Calvary's Hill. Execution. It was goodbye. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye to everybody. And that's what the Christian life is. It is so deep, so radical. Goodbye to pride. Goodbye to self-life. Goodbye to that deep, deep, deep-rooted pride. And all that we think others think we are. I mean, we've got to get so barefaced, real, before God and man, and say, this is where I'm at. This is who I am. I'm not somebody else. Strangers, pilgrims, exiles. That's what they confessed, it says. And it says in verse 15, if they'd have been thinking about that country from which they came, they'd have had opportunity to return. I tell you what, you don't want to entertain not a day of it, thinking about the old life, thinking about the old friends, thinking about the old life. Don't. It says if they had been mindful of it, they had been thinking of it, yeah, they'd had opportunity to return. You better be sure of this. You've got to persevere to the end. You've got to go all the way and renew your mind. Day by day by day by day, renew your mind. And read the Bible. And be around good sermons. And be listening to good sermons. Be around good Christian fellowship. Many times I've prayed with Ray. His prayers have been sermons to me and refreshed, revived me. And so, what are you doing missing the prayer meetings? What are you doing missing the Sunday, the Lord's meetings? Over nothing almost. It's insanity to do it. You need your mind renewed. You can cool off. You can cool down. The things of this earth can all of a sudden not look strangely dim, but look so real. And you better not be mindful of it. You better hate it. You better hate the old life. You better hate Ur of Mesopotamia, where Abraham came from. He threw his idols down back there. And so they confessed that they were strangers and that they were headed for heaven. They were headed for heaven. They're seeking a country. Verse 14, a country of their own. I think the meaning there is a homeland. You know, heaven, that's my home. And they were seeking it. Here we are. I've been a Christian for about 41 years. For 41 years. I've been seeking heaven. I've been seeking God. I had Jesus already. But we still seek Him, right, Bob? Because there's so much more. And for the non-Christian, or for the Christian, that's the message. That's the message. Seek the Lord. If you're not a Christian, you seek the Lord. If you are a Christian, you keep on seeking the Lord. That's Christianity. That's the Christian life. Because you know you're not there yet. You know you're not perfect yet. You know you still got sin there yet to fight. You still got a battle to fight. You still got a way to make. all the way to the end. And so it says in Colossians 3 that we, if we've been risen with Christ through the new birth, it says you keep seeking things above, where Christ is at the right hand of God. Yes, the Lord took His seat at the right hand of God. That's where He is. That's where He's doing business, interceding for us. That's where He has got the position of preeminence and the power and privilege and glory, at the right hand of God. And so we're seeking all of that that Christ accomplished when He set it down at the right hand of God. And verse 16, a better country, a heavenly one. Better. Oh boy. Yeah. The world is, it's a mess. It's a strange thing, isn't it? The way that the world can look so attractive. And yet, at the same time, it is a mess. It's ruin. We've got to keep in mind, sin and death reign. That's reality. It's what the Bible says. Sin and death are reigning. And the world is in a mess. It'll never be right. It'll never be happy. It'll never be holy. It'll never satisfy. And we're looking for something far better. You see it, Ashley? Far better. And it says, God is not ashamed to be called your God. You know, in a way, that's all He wants, is for us to, by faith, say, I'm putting all my eggs in the next lot, in that basket. I'm putting all my life. I'm putting it all in the future, in the hereafter. Not now. I'm putting it all on in the eternal kingdom, in not the temporal here. I'm putting it all in Christ. He's going to reign forever. He's going to bring an end to this whole show. And I'm putting all my stakes in that which is to come. There's a great reality that's yet to come. The world's gone on for how many thousand years. But I'm saying so, you're saying so boldly, by faith, that there's still an eternity coming, a great reality coming, in which Jesus Christ is big enough, glorious enough, to satisfy us, to take us up, to hold us for eternity, day after day, forever, forever. That's our God. That's all He's wanting us to say and do, is to die now, to die to this life, and put it all in the next. And if we do that, He's not ashamed to be called our... He's not going to be ashamed to be called our God. He's not going to be ashamed to own us, to testify of us. We've testified of Him. He'll testify of us, Chris, and say, I know Him. I know Him. I know Him. And He'll not say, depart from me, I never knew you. There's one big day coming, the day of the Lord. Man has had his days, everything from birthday to graduation day to Groundhog Day. Man has tried to make his day, but God's going to have his day. And what a day it'll be. You know, a lot of the songs we sang this morning, I've noticed this a lot lately. A lot of the songs we sing, what's it about? I mean, we can hardly sing one song in our hymn book without singing about Christ and about heaven. Heaven, it's always mentioned. Just about always mentioned. And that's our home. That's what we're headed for. That's what we're cut out for. That's what we're called for. We're called to heaven. It's a high, holy, and heavenly calling. And so that's where we're destined. That the Lord's praying us to heaven. You all, dear ones, have prayed and prayed. If ever. You prayed for me. And that I might have more time. But you know, the Lord's, it may be that His prayer is the other way. You know, His prayers, He's praying us to heaven. Father, I desire that those whom You've given me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, the glory that You've given me before the foundation of the world. And so that's the way the Lord's praying. And we want heaven to be our home, where our possessions lie. Having said this, let me add a bit of a footnote. Somebody said, what would you do different? Having said what I've said about earth and all of that, I think one thing that I would have done different is to have more joy in this journey, in this pilgrimage. I would have liked to have spent it with more joy. I think somehow I made the Christian life too hard. I don't know how to explain it exactly. You know, as a Christian, I mean, we've got these different fears and so on, and you know, and we do need to just lay back and rest on the promises of God and rejoice. Paul says, again, I say rejoice and enjoy our journey together. Enjoy our meals together. They took their meals of gladness and sincerity of heart. Enjoy fellowship, the fellowship of the saints. Enjoy one another. We're not perfect. We've all got faults. But let's take what we can out of one another. I mean, take one another for who we are. You know what I mean? And enjoy one another. Enjoy meals together. Enjoy our meals as a family together. It's a mystery. I mean, we're not living for our belly. But nevertheless, enjoy your meals together. Make each meal a family altar. Make each meal a celebration. Make each meal a worship service as a family, a sharing time. You know, It ain't going to continue forever. Terry said yesterday, I don't know how I can sit down at the table and enjoy a meal without you being there. But I know she knows she can and will. Because of Christ, she's made Christ her first love, not me. And I know she knows. It'll all be well. And take some vacations together. Work hard when you got to work. When it's time to play, do that with all your heart too. Let your pastors rejoice. It says in Hebrews 13 that they may do it with joy and not with grief. If I'm gone and Clint remains, give that man some joy. Ultimately, it's the way you can do it is by living a holy life yourself, staying away from sin. That's what keeps a pastor awake at night, is sin in the camp. Division, strife, difficulties. Come on, let's be men. We husbands help our wives rejoice. It says, and we should rejoice in the wife of our youth. And you children, a lot of what you've got to do before God right now is to give your parents joy. Let her rejoice who gave you birth. And it's not just while you're young. It's when you get out of the house as well. Yeah. Let them rejoice. And so I think that, I mean, it's just such a mystery there. In a way, we turn our back on the world. In another way, these things down here, they are real. They are part of life. They are part of what God has given us to deal with, the daily duties. And we just have to be more than conquerors in it. We have to use these physical, these earthly things for heaven and turn them into heavenly realities. Right here before the time as we live by faith. And so I'm going to sit down. I can't say it all. It's just hard to believe, isn't it? It's hard to believe that We must say goodbye to one another. All of us. All of us have a terminal disease. It's just hard to believe. I look at you young folks and you know you're in good health and strong, and I mean I felt like I was 30 or 40 until just a couple years ago, and just hard to believe how quickly our health can depart and our time can be up. And we have to say our goodbyes. But it's reality. And God has prepared for us all, every one of us who are Christians, He's prepared for us something better. And so, in a way, we sorrow, but not like those who have no hope. And so the song says, let every tear be dry. We're marching to Emmanuel's land. And there every tear will be wiped away. Whatever sorrows, disappointments, griefs, heaven is big enough to wipe it clean away. God has given us, you know, one another, those of like precious faith, like-minded, really, to help one another, just to help one another on to heaven and to enjoy the journey a little more. It'd be pretty lonely without one another, wouldn't it? Lord Jesus had joy beyond any of His companions. It says God anointed Him with the oil of gladness above His companions. And yet, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured. Lord Jesus, we thank You. We thank You for the life You lived, the death You died. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You accomplished redemption for the likes of us. And that You are the firstborn among many brethren. And we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, and take Your waiting people home. Amen. Shall we sing that song? We're marching to Zion.